Hello and welcome to episode 3 of IMO. I am your host, Liam.
And I am your host, Emil.
Yes! Okay, oh well. In every single time so far, the intro has been screwed up completely. That was lovely. That was brilliant. That was almost poetic. I have a couple of updates, just to share.
Intrigue us.
Something's pretty cool. That is, we're on iTunes now, so you can, if you've just been watching us on YouTube or on one of the various sites, such as Podomatic or Spreaker or one of those sites that we're up on, you can get us on iTunes now. If you search IMO podcast, actually, I think I'm not sure if it's the first result, but there's another podcast which is exactly the same name as ours about shipping. So you can go, if you go and try and download our podcast and then suddenly you're learning about Atlantic routes for freight ships and stuff, then you've probably got the wrong one. Unless we do some kind of special on ships. I doubt we will.
Collaborate.
Yeah, no, and that one is probably infinitely more popular than ours. But that's something that's pretty cool. As far as updates go, there's not really much more to talk about in terms of what's going to be going on with the podcast, apart from I'm hoping to, at least in this episode, hopefully the sound quality will be a little bit better because we now have shock mounts. In previous episodes, the mics I got, which aren't cheap mics, they were just dangling by the XLR cables, which are the cables attached to the mics. They were just dangling over the desks from there was no support for it, and it probably broke it. I don't know. So hopefully the sound quality will be a little bit better, and we'll get pop filters in soon. I know it's annoying we still haven't got them. And also in this episode, I'm gonna hopefully try and include a couple of other things,
Changing
which
up
I
the
do
format a
in
bit.
just change the format a little bit, edit it a little bit. I wasn't very happy with just doing like one topic per episode, so I kind of just what would be ideal is if we ever had like emails or something which people sent in asking us questions, our opinions on things. That would be amazing. But for now, I just kind of want to just talk about maybe one or two topics more in each episode. Maybe focus on some news stories which are trending currently. So anything that kind of piques our interest, and it's interesting to talk about because we like to have an opinion on everything because we're just like that. So today we're going to start off talking about education, and I love ripping into the education system because I think it's awful.
As of now,
Well,
as
as
of
of now, well,
recording.
it's not awful. It's just not brilliant. There's just so many things, especially considering Emil and I go to a private school, which means they get to make their own rules.
They're not
Oh God.
bound by the government.
Yeah, so that can be very
Actually, yeah.
interesting, and it is very fun to for them probably to toy around with us. There is a recent news article which, I mean, if you want to read it out, focuses on basically now in the UK there's a bill going to be passed most likely, which is going to force people to stay in education until they're 18, which I can only see as being extremely inconvenient. I haven't actually properly read through the news articles, so I don't know how relevant it all is, but if you just want to read it out, that'd be cool.
I'll just read out the first bit. It says, concerns are growing about the impact of a radical but little-known reform coming into force next month, which raises the education participation age by one year to 17. Thousands of 16-year-olds are guinea pigs this summer in a reform that is the first step towards ensuring all teenagers stay in education and training until they are 18 by 2015.
Right, yeah, see, as someone who, me and you are obviously both going to be staying in education until we're at least 18,
Yeah.
for us it's not a problem doing that because we hopefully want to go on and get a job which would require us to have done a certain amount of education and had so many, degrees or so, and so it's just you would need an education for it. That's kind of just what we want to do. But for some people who are wanting to continue family businesses and stuff, I know for a fact that, I have a friend who is wanting to carry on, his father's business, but now he's going to have to stay in school until he's 18. He was hoping to do it this year while he's 16, and I'm not sure when exactly this passes, but if it were to pass now, then that wouldn't be possible for him. He'd have to go to school for two more years knowing that it's just a waste of time. And it would actually be illegal for him just to quit school to focus on actually getting a job and earning money for his family, which is infinitely more important if that's what you want to do.
Definitely. I think that, like, certainly the education system now is very cookie cutter, I guess. It's sort of like saying, oh, you've got to do this and you've got to do this. And they actually make it very little known. Like, they don't sort of let you know about the alternatives, which is like, you could just drop out now and get a job somewhere if yeah. you didn't want to carry on with exams.
The likelihood of you getting that dream job that you want is... It very rarely happens in the way that you expect. So if you were to like just go through education and get a degree, then find somewhere they're offering the job, interview and get the job. It very rarely happens like that. It normally just turns up in front of you somehow through some series of events. Your job, it might not be your dream job, but it'll be like a job that you're happy to do. And it'll just fall somehow in front of you. So you know, the fact that they want everyone to go and get the best job they can by staying in education, it means there's going to be nobody left for those jobs. Like, if everyone turns up being doctors and everyone turns out having, you know, incredibly well-paying jobs, then who is there going to be left to go and do the jobs that we all don't really want to do but are very necessary in society? It just confuses me how we're always told when we're little that we have to get a great, brilliant job and we have to... I don't know, that's just me.
But also, not all people want those jobs. Like, sort of, like, I guess, it's to be a doctor, it's a pretty, like, it's a dedicated thing. Like, because both my parents are doctors, and they had to go through, like, years of medical school, and they all got, like, underpaid internship and stuff. And of course now, they're not underpaid at all, but it's a tough, like, journey to become a doctor. It's very intense, and...
Yeah,
I think like not everyone wants to be a doctor. Obviously, it's not for everyone, and rightly so. There's thousands of different professions out there that people can do, and some of them, a lot of them, don't even require you to go to school.
Yeah,
like, you can just do them. I think because my philosophy on life is just to simply like do what makes you happy, as long as it's obviously like don't take that literally. But, no, like it's like you know if you want to. Even if you want to, like, because personally, at the moment, I don't know what I want to do. I don't even think I want to go to university. I think my dream job at the moment is working in a shop, just, like, by the tills. And
that's the thing, yeah. Not necessarily everyone wants to go and get these brilliant jobs. And for various reasons, you know, you might not want to go and get these jobs because it requires 7 years in higher education. So not only is that a huge chunk of your, you know, more youthful life, but it's horrifically expensive. Like, the yes. amount of debt that you would be in after doing a course which lasts 7 years is, like, I don't know, it's just in some ways, if it's not really a job that you're that interested in, if you're only being a doctor because it'll earn you money or your parents want you to do it...
You're going to feel shit.
You're going to feel really shit because you're going to have, like, a really, I don't know, not necessarily unhappy, but very difficult time, and you're going to be in so much debt afterwards, especially now considering, you know, how much does it cost for a 17-year-old to drive in this country? Well, you're going to be paying around £2,000 a year in insurance if you're 17. Like, that's pretty much, there's no other way around that. And that's without buying a car or fuel or anything. So already you're looking at just £4,000, you know, to get you started driving. And if you're from a family, like, you know, my family don't have very much money. My parents don't have amazing jobs, so that could never happen. I probably won't drive until I'm 21, 22. That's how...
But I think that's also like the state of most people. Like, they not every like it's very rare that people immediately start driving when they're 17 or 18.
It used to be much more common when insurance used to be ridiculous and fuel prices didn't used to be ridiculous, and it was perfectly okay for you to get a cheapy car. Now, you know, you have to go and MOT and service it and have repairs done all the time. And the prices just rack up so badly. So if you tie that in with education, you're not going to be able to afford anything.
I think my main issue with, like, the way that it's done is that I hate having to choose at such a young age. Because, like, I'm 17 or 16. Like, it's... it's pretty tough because we're still pretty young.
Yeah.
You know, we're still living with our parents, and we're still, you know, basically our parents still cook for us a lot of the time and all that stuff, right? We're basically still children.
Yeah.
And they're saying, okay, so what do you want to do for the rest of your life? And it's like, whoa, what? Like, it's, I just feel like it's been sprung on too quickly. And obviously some people have they're in the fortunate position where they know what they want to do and they're dead set. And they're like, oh, I want to be a dentist, and I'm going to set up a plan, and that's going to be my life. And it's like, that's great, but most people don't have that. And like,
one of the reasons for that is like, this is my biggest problem with the education system. This is my biggest problem. They don't teach you life skills. They give you knowledge and they give you information, but that's about it. If schools actually taught what I think is important life skills, you know, life skills.
Life school!
Important life skills, then I think it would be so much more helpful as you go into adult life. Like, little things which you really do need to know. For example,
how to jumpstart a car.
That is one of the, like, how to jumpstart a car. It's going to help you, it could help you in so many situations. But things like how to you know, apply and go through university, job interviews, how to do taxes, all these things that when we're suddenly like shoved into like full adult life, we're gonna have like no idea what we're doing. And it's for them reasons that people are so vulnerable. If people like can get sucked into these loan issues, you know, what's it, like all these like Wonga and stuff like that. If you're like a 19-year-old and you're short of cash, you know, you might as well, you know, as from what our perspective, you're like, oh yeah, sure, I'll just go and get that £400 to pay the rest of my bills, yeah,
yeah,
and then suddenly, you know, you're like, I'm 20 quid short of paying the loan back, and then suddenly you are owing like £1,500 and you don't have the money, and then you're getting in more and more debt, and then you're entire year at least is ruined by that because you have no money.
I just think they push it into you way too fast. That sounded wrong. they sort of push you into this world where sort of you've got to be an asshole to, you know, succeed. You've got to be like ruthless in business if you want to get to the top. You know, you've got to be dedicated. And I just think that most people of our age, or most people of the age that are expected to leave school and go to university or get a job, I think that it's far too young. Like, our entire life is, well, it's said that our entire life is based on exams we take, when most of us haven't probably even been in a long-term relationship or something like, you know, it's a pretty rapid shift. Like, we haven't had a lot of life experience. We don't really understand the world in the same way that maybe we should do at the time when we're applying for jobs. And
if you're taking exams when you're 16, which will affect what jobs you can get for the rest of your life when you're 30 or 40 years old, and you get rejected because at the time you were like a horny sick like teenage kid who couldn't
horny sick kid.
No, it was, I mean, like, as if like you were like ill all the time, or you're a depressed kid, or you were, you know, you just had any kind of issues, and you just weren't concentrating, or you were really immature at the time because you hadn't fully developed, and you just didn't take them seriously. Then I think that, you know, as someone who, you know, I literally only just taken my GCSEs, and I'll be getting my results in a few weeks. As someone in that position, watching some of the kids taking the exams, like, some of them weren't taking it seriously at all, you know, including myself for some exams, I was just like, you know, I really can't be bothered. I just can't, you know, and then like afterwards you regret it. And it's just so much pressure, like this early on. It just feels odd because it's such a huge step up from the year before when you were doing literally nothing. Like also in this article, it talks about how they're trying it out, as in, like, it won't necessarily stay in place, and it kind of seems like they're testing the system. But to force everyone at once just to be, like, tested in this new system could cause some real problems. Because as we know in the past, when they've changed the education system, like, they were almost switched A-levels, I think, or GCSEs for O-levels.
Yeah, they used to be O-levels, I think.
Yeah, and that can cause, like, real can't even remember.
Inconsistencies?
Yeah, inconsistencies when people are applying for jobs. Like, one person will have different CVs because of the different things that they've done, and it just complicates the entire system.
There was that huge controversy with, I think it was like the English GCSE, the British English GCSE exams, where they changed the way they'd marked them. Yeah. So all of a sudden, it was really split, and some people were getting A's and B's, and they had exactly the same marks as the people that were getting, like, D's and E's.
Yeah.
And it was like, they just because they changed one simple rule, and I don't think it's fair to just suddenly test it. And they don't even, like, tell you that they're testing it. They're just like, okay, we're going to put this change in place, fucking deal with it. Like, you know, maybe you'll go jobless, but that's okay, because the people behind you will get a job.
It's not a good system. Like, talking about what we were talking about before, like the life skills, that isn't there. Like, not even an hour a week. Like, the closest thing we have is an hour in which we talk about things like, things like bullying and alcohol, which I suppose is relevant, but it just doesn't seem as relevant as some of the things we were talking about.
It just seems like...
Instead of, like, some kind of hour like that, we have an hour forced to go to a chapel service every week.
Oh, God. Yeah. You know? Okay.
Even if you're, like, a Muslim kid who has no interest in going to a Christian chapel service, in the school that we go to, you have to. There's no way of getting... As, you know, us two are both atheists.
Yeah.
And, you know, we have no interest in going to a chapel service. In fact, we have actively, you know, fighted against having to go, but, you know, it's no use because it's a private school and it's their own rules and there's nothing we can do about that.
It kind of sucks, but also, like, I mean, on the subject of religion and stuff like that now, like, in the education system.
Yeah.
I think that a secular approach to, like, education is important because it lets people know about religion and what it can do, like, bad for the better or for worse, but just lets people just be their own person.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're not forced to go to a chapel service and sit there for an hour, you know, sitting through something they don't even believe in. I just feel that, like, as an atheist, there's something I could be doing more useful in that time, like maybe studying or sleeping. They were like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like, and I'm not, that's not me saying, oh, it's a waste of time.
No.
But for me it is, because I don't believe in that stuff. And if you do, then it's not a waste of time.
On the same note, it's just, there should be options for people who are religious to get more involved with religious activities on school campuses, rather than kind of pretending that it's not there.
The
same goes for things like sexuality. Like,
I think that definitely needs to be touched on in the education system. Like.
Like, schools literally pretend that it's not a thing, and that no bullying occurs because of it.
But even, like, you have the sort of, not taboo, but, like, less mainstream sexualities, like homosexuality and bisexuality.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's understandable why in this culture, like, in this generation, where it's sort of only just surfacing as a normal thing, like, it's understandable that they might not be as sort of aware of it in schools. But even stuff like heterosexuality, I mean, like in most schools in at least in Britain, like, public display of affection, like, you're not even allowed to hold hands sometimes on, like, the school campus and stuff like that. Like, that would be considered too affectionate, and, like, sexuality is such a taboo thing. Just, like, relationships in general are so taboo in education.
I think that's so wrong, especially considering at that age, that's, like, what you're most interested in.
Yeah.
And some people feel so uncomfortable when they're unsure about their sexuality, and they're going to be kind of wanting that information and that kind of, that flow of, I think, that feeling that it's okay.
Just tolerance.
Because, like, things like, ever since I was 10 years old, you know, gay was just a playground insult. You know,
yeah. So, I hate that phrase. Like,
so you know, so anything that's bad is gay. Anything that's annoying is gay. Anything that's rubbish is gay. So, if you were someone who is gay and you're 13 and you're pretty sure you're gay, you know, from what you saw on the internet last night, you know, you're pretty sure, you know, and then, you know, you go into school the next day and, you know, or you're keeping it to yourself because everyone is like hate, just from the language that you're hearing, just on the playground, I'm pretty sure everyone hates gay people.
And, yeah, obviously that sort of attitude towards sexuality isn't the fault of the education system. Like, it hasn't caused that. But I think that's generally more the history of homosexuality and bisexuality. It's not been a great one. Like, you know, you've got a lot of homophobic people out there.
Yeah.
And I think that's just cultural. I think for sort of stems from religious beliefs and traditional, like, family tradition and stuff like that. But I think it's the fault of the education system that it's carried on this long.
Yeah.
Because, it's their job to teach kids. That's literally what they do. They teach the next generation of kids that are going to grow up and become, like, the next generation of adults.
Yeah.
And like, it's important that they teach acceptance of, you know, religious beliefs and sexuality and philosophical beliefs and stuff.
I feel like right now, in this, the time that we're in, is, like, a massive revolutionary change.
Oh, we're definitely in, like, yeah, we're just kind, like, of...
If you think two generations ago, it was, like, the whole idea of black people having equal rights, even then...
Was shaky,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, it was, like, taboo and shaky. In the same way that sexuality is now, like, just how same-sex marriage has passed 6 months in the UK has been a really big deal, because it's gone in and out of court so many times, and it's finally mm-hmm. passed, and it's now
and really,
legal.
That's just a no-brainer to me. Like, why, you know, why not just,
and I think,
you know, let people
yeah,
marry whoever they
want
to marry?
That's a really good sign, because at least in our generation, say in, you know, I don't want to use fake statistics, but I'm going to. No,
like
I mean...
Daily
I,
Mail?
No, I mean, like, if you think, like, the last generation, it was more like about half of people are, like, kind of accepting of homosexuality,
yeah.
And then half of, you know, kind of against it, or at least not, don't really have any kind of knowledge on it, especially people in like Parliament. It's like something that on a whole they used to be very against, and it's only recently and in our generation where we're much more kind of pro sexuality in general.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing,
all
as
of the
like
sex.
Transgender is, I would say, probably the only of the, like, the LGBT is probably the only letter which is still very much not known about in the mainstream.
Yeah, it's very sort of hushed out and
yeah, I think you've got to kind of, it's very limited in the amount of kind of exposure that transgender communities and people have on everybody else. So if you meet someone who is transgender, then you're gonna, most people at least, will kind of be uneducated and probably a little bit confused or intimidated because it's something they don't really understand. And I know for a fact that transgender people are discriminated a lot more than gay people or bisexual people, and actually by gay and bisexual people because they don't want to be associated with transgender people.
It's weird. Like,
yeah, it's kind of, it's as if it's like hating something from your own community.
Oppressed
it's
by
just,
the oppressed.
Yeah, yeah, and that's true. But that's like another level of oppression in terms of
it's
sexuality.
Like meta oppression.
It's the same as like gender fluidity.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I really wish in my ideal world, like, gender roles wouldn't be that important.
Should just all be
sexuality wouldn't be important.
I think it's just like, just people need to be open. Like, this is sort of gone, this has gone way off like education system now, but like I just think like sexuality sexuality in general just needs to be like just like set free. It's like people just need to be themselves, and
yeah,
people should be okay with that, because I mean obviously that's not, it's not as easy as it sounds, okay, because you're gonna have the people that are like, oh, you like men, how dare you? It doesn't affect me in any way at all, but I'm going to complain about it.
Well, that's the difference between like homosexuality and another, I don't know, what's another thing which... So, okay, for example, okay, homosexuality is now becoming quite accepted. Paedophilia will probably never be accepted because of it inflicts pain on somebody else apart
yes,
from the initial
yeah.
party, whereas homosexuality is, it doesn't, if two consenting homosexual males have sex, what effect does that have on anybody else? You know, that has no effect on anybody else.
It's, yeah,
no
it's,
one is in pain. No one, it's not a bad, it's not, probably not a bad experience for anybody involved. You know.
Yeah.
I've got an article here, which is saying, will polyamory follow same-sex marriage in the UK or in America? I think what it means is polygamy, in that
it might be worth like giving multiple, that a quick Google search to like see.
I'm pretty sure that polygamy is the act of multiple people getting married.
Yes.
And polyamory is relationships between multiple people. And as someone who is kind of, I agree with open relationships, so mm-hmm. polyamorous relationships, and I would probably prefer them over monogamous relationships.
Yeah, I mean, like we've discussed this before. Like, it's a mindset thing, I think.
Yeah.
Like with, I mean, because I'm fine with open relationships. Like, if the all of the people involved are okay, that they're all like, you know, sleeping with other people and you know having sex with other people, that's fine. No one's getting hurt. They're all okay with it. I mean, personally, I would prefer to be in a more of a monogamous relationship, just because that's how I feel. That doesn't make me against like. Yeah. Polygamous relationships or polyamorous relationships. I'm perfectly fine with that idea. It just doesn't appeal to me
like,
personally.
I feel like this might become a thing in that our generation, when we get older, say we're 30 or 40, and to us, homosexuality, brilliant. It's like amazing.
Everyone should be gay.
Everyone loves it. Yeah?
Everyone.
But then our children, the next thing becomes possibly polyamorous relationships, marriage between three or four people.
Mm-hmm.
You know? To our generation, that would be like, what the hell are you doing? You know, that's crazy.
I don't know. I'd be pretty chill about that. But
I mean, but I think most people of our generation would be like, no, you can't do that. Marriage is between two people. You know, it doesn't matter what gender they are. It's two people. I'm pretty sure that would be a thing. I don't think that our generation would be very happy with like five or six people.
I think yeah, our generation. I don't know. I wouldn't mind. I honestly, because I personally think marriage is such a escalated thing. It's so like. Oh, you've got to be married for your relationship to mean something. And it's like, no. Like, it's sort of, marriage is becoming a less popular choice, or at least religious marriage. It's now sort of more, we're getting married because we get financial benefits for being a couple in a house and we get less off the mortgage or whatever. I don't know how it works. But like, marriage is such a, I don't know, I can easily see myself going through life without getting married, but just being in a relationship with someone, because that way it gets... It's less complicated if you want to break up, which more, you know, it's more than likely it's going to happen at some point. Personally,
I don't think you need to show off your love for someone else in a service in front of all your family and friends.
In fact, it's quite sort of...
I kind of think that it's unnecessary and it's like irrelevant to any kind of relationship, because then you're just putting the legal system in your relationship. That's all you're doing. All you're doing then is making... You're bringing in aspects of religion and aspects of the legal system for probably tax benefits. I think that it's a whole silly system. I don't think I'd ever want to get married unless, you know, the person I'm with is, like, super pro marriage.
Oh, yeah, I would get married if my partner wanted to, but it just wouldn't mean, like, what it does to most people. I mean, I'm only 17. I can't really talk for that, like, sort of age group. Like,
yeah.
I'm you know, pretty inexperienced at life, just in general, being 17, but, like, I just think marriage is so... Like, that's why, you know, this whole gay marriage thing?
Mm.
Like, I don't... Like, I understand why it was so important that it got legalized and people were able to, like, you know, gay couples were able to get married, but at the same time, I'm like, does it really matter that much? Like, can you not just be happy?
I think that's from my...
And that sounded really awful. Hold on. Let me just...
Like... No, I know what you mean, is in that... Like,
I mean that for any couple in any sexuality in general. Yeah. Just, you know, just enjoy what you have.
If right now marriage was no longer a thing, I wouldn't care in the slightest.
It wouldn't make a difference.
I think that
to us.
it's the same as thing people disagreeing with gay people having children. You know, having adopted children. Having children used to be very important for the survival of the human race.
Now we need to kill all of the people.
When we were simply like a few tribes of humans, we had to have lots of children, as many as possible, to continue the race going on, the species going on. But now having children is just kind of, you do it because you want to, and you want to have kids, and you want to look after kids. Mm-hmm. It's not even like what it was a couple hundred years ago, like carrying on your family name.
That's kind of very medieval.
Nobody even wants to do that anymore, because it's kind of pointless. Some people might just go and change their surname. So I kind of think that now, for like gay people to have children is fine, because it's not as if it's important to the human race whether they have children or not. It's just that they want kids, and that's
fine. We won.
Fine.
We did it. We did. We conquered the planet.
The human race is like, it's won. Just give up, you know?
It's basically just arrogance.
Invade Mars.
It's like rubbing it in animals' faces. Yeah. Just like how much we can have. Well, no, yeah. I mean, having children is almost like an emotional accessory now. Like, it's sort of more, we can have this, and like, we're going to raise a kid, and it's going to be awesome. And stuff like that. It's no longer like, you know, sort of imagining this really like sort of straight conservative family that's like pipe in his mouth, dad, like, oh, your wife, you must stay at home and cook the dinner and raise the child whilst I go out and you know, bring home the bacon, as it were. And like, you know, it's not like that anymore. You know, the mother and the father work. Sometimes the kid works. You know,
yeah.
It's just like,
it doesn't really matter. Like, as a bisexual person, and as someone who has been in a relationship with both genders, I really don't care what gender I end up getting married to, or if I
let it happen.
Yeah, and in fact, I don't even want to get married. So, I'm kind of looking at it through like completely. I'm looking at like gender. Not, what am I looking for? Like gender. I'm looking at it like in a gender blind way, almost in a like a pansexual way. I don't really like that term, but I'm looking at it as in like, I don't really care what gender the person is. I just want to love them. People should just love each other. Oh God, I know I sound like every semi-popular YouTuber ever, but I just, you know, I just don't think people should really care who it is that they're in love with. Unless what they do is really creepy, and then you probably shouldn't love them so much.
Don't love them. Well, yeah, I mean, as a heterosexual male who's never, ever been in a relationship. we put the email in the description. My name is Emil.
Well, no, I think I've just got much more choice.
Yeah, fuck you. Seriously, screw you, man. No, but yeah, yes. Don't be gay. No, yeah. As a straight person, as a heterosexual person, marriage doesn't matter much to me either. I just want to be in a relationship with someone, just like, as a normal human would want to be. You know, just to have just someone to hit
violently with a rake.
We're kidding, by the way.
Oh,
but as the offer still stands, the email is
no. Marriage, on the whole, I think, is just, to sum that up, is just less relevant.
Yeah,
and
obviously, to some people,
more
it's
of a
important.
Comfort.
Yeah,
I think closure on a relationship, because people who obviously want closed relationships, it's kind of, if it's like in a contract, as in that, you know, you're not going to commit adultery, and our relationship will remain closed between two people who love each other, and that is brilliant. If that's what they want to do, that is brilliant. Whereas, you know, I personally think that people should just be able to love love. I want to be able to love people regardless of like who they are, or like, I don't want some kind of binding stopping me from being able to love certain person. Like, oh yeah, I can't love you because I'm in a relationship with them, or, you know, I'm sexually attracted to them, but, you know, I really like them. And, you know, what's the point? Why don't, you know, I just feel like it'd be so much easier for everyone if we all just fucked. No, if we all just... if we all just didn't really care, and everyone was just a bit happier about it, and there was less kind of labeling having to occur, and it just kind of flowed a bit more easier. But then, you know, it's never gonna happen.
I mean, like, I get where you're coming from, and I mean, obviously, from a practical point of view, if you look at, if everyone was in like a polyamorous relationship and everyone was sort of honest about how they feel, and they just, like, you know, sexually pursued like anyone who they were sexually attracted to, there was going to be an increase in sexually transmitted
disease. Might have some issues there.
Yeah, like, there's going to be STDs like spreading around more. But I mean, I get, like I said, it's a mindset. It shouldn't be like a law. It should just be what you feel. Like, you know, because personally, as like someone who's more like monogamously minded,
monogamously
minded.
That's the one. We have no idea what these terms
are. Yeah, give us money. I just feel like I personally would enjoy a monogamous relationship more than a polygamous or polyamorous relationship. But I have absolutely no issue with someone who wants to be in a polyamorous relationship because I completely get it. You know, because you're attracted to one person doesn't mean that you're only ever attracted to them. And, like, you're going to be attracted to more people, maybe some more than others, but it's the attraction is still there and you can't deny that.
Well, that's the thing. I think that, like, love's, like, a comfort is, like, really important to someone's kind of, like, happiness, self-esteem, mm-hmm. and their entire life in general. If you're someone who is, like, really kind of closed and live basically, like, to themselves and never kind of expresses anything towards any other people, I think that you're just going to be unhappy, really.
Yeah. Well, this kind of got way off topic.
Yeah, what were we even doing? It was my fault. I had an article here about same-sex marriage. But, you know, I think that the entire country is looking at it too much from, like, I'm not even sure if I'm using the right word, is a diplomatic standpoint. Is that the right word?
It might be.
professionals. A standpoint where we're looking at it too systematically, and we're trying to kind of put things in boxes, if you know what I mean.
I think it's a very human thing to do. Like.
It is. But I just kind of think it's not quite necessary.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, like, you know, it's not that much of a problem. You know, if you look at some of the actual problems going on, you know, the social problems, like sexuality, really shouldn't be problems.
They're just so, like, insignificant. And
yeah, people should just kind of get on with things which are more, you know, like...
Because it does affect...
the state of the economy, yeah. No one really cares if Bruce is fucking Gary, you know?
Yeah, but the thing is, though, it does have, like, this sort of taboo around homosexuality. It does have an effect. Like, you know, in the military, it's often frowned upon to be homosexual. And it's like, that's going to have an effect on the amount of people that want to enroll in the military. And, you know, it's almost like it's a product. And it's like, it's not marketed towards homosexuals. Sorry. Yeah. Like, you know, but then these people could be talented soldiers or, you know, talented whatever. You know, they could be talented musicians and they're not going to be as popular as the guy that's a straight musician or whatever. You know, I just think it hinders society, this sort of segregation almost. And I just think people need to learn that these things happen and it's perfectly normal and it's human. So deal with it.
It's like, what would be the worst thing ever is if this kind of stuff became trendy. Like, it became trendy to be homosexual.
It kind of is with bisexuality. Like, the amount of, like, I mean, if you go on Tumblr as much as I do and you're sort of, like, frequenting lots of different blogs, there's going to be that one person who's, like, obsessively following a celebrity and changes their sexuality just because they came out as whatever.
Yeah,
and...
yeah. No, that, you know, that irritates me so much because...
Maybe we're looking at it too bluntly. Maybe they genuinely are.
Maybe they are, but I think people who say, who are like, for example, I'm not sure the exact age, but Will Smith, her daughter...
His daughter.
His daughter came out as bisexual when she was 10 or 11. And I think, she'd grow up to be bisexual, but maybe she's just a teenager who's not even a teenager yet, and they're just kind of doing it to be popular. Yeah. Maybe? I don't know. Am I wrong? I don't know.
I'm of the belief that sexuality is innate, like you're born, and like that's how you are.
I think you can be born certain sexuality.
It's definitely a mixture of both.
I think it's a mixture of environment as well, because I think that if you were like somehow like sexually curious more when you were like really young, then that could affect the sexuality you end up when you're older because it becomes more of a norm for you. That's what I personally think.
I definitely think it's a mix of biological factors and psychological factors and upbringing as well. It has an issue.
Carrying on about the trendy impact. Thing, I'm starting to see it happen, unfortunately, with people who are like depressed. Like being depressed.
Oh yeah, that's become a statement. It's like, a fashion statement now.
Yeah,
right? And that sucks as well. Like trends in general. We're going on to a whole different topic now. trend, like as in, it's great, you know. People are going to be, oh, look at this great music and all that stuff. It's trendy. People are going to listen to it. That person's going to get lots of money. When it goes to things like mental illnesses, like depression, as someone who has been through depression before, it's not a joke. Like, it's not a, oh, I feel a bit down, so I'm going to post some black and white pictures on Tumblr and moan about myself. Like, it's not it's not like that, because when you're genuinely depressed, it's actually more of a, I'm not going to tell anyone, and I'm just going to sit here.
Yeah,
that's what it's like. And you can always tell when someone's like, oh, I feel really down. So, yeah.
Well,
but that the thing is, though, that because that's been created, the people who genuinely need help, yeah, are being looked down on now. Because they're just seen as annoying people, and it's like, no, they need help. Like,
that's the thing. As someone, I mean, I've never been depressed before, so I can think of how annoying it would be for someone who was depressed to be next to people who are like pretending to be depressed or were feeling down and
misinterpreting their own emotions, maybe. Or...
And I just think that, you know, and this happens a lot in teenagers, and I don't want to. It's the same. I think
it's just hormones.
I'd say it's the same with like music. Like,
yeah.
Music, like people getting into bands and then like that music becoming representative of an emotion and who, and then people saying, oh yeah, just because they listen to that band, they're depressed people.
That's how emo music came about. I mean, like, emo music's, I think it's the genre. Like, emo music is, like, I guess it's good. I mean, I've listened to a bit of emo music. It's not the stuff I'd listen to normally, but that doesn't make me an emo.
Sometimes I might listen to some music which is considered, you know, emo music. You know, my music, you know, my music taste is everything.
Shit.
You know, I like very specific bands and artists, but it does vary over a lot of different genres. And like when, you know, when I tell someone I might listen to a certain band, they're like, "Wow, really?" You know. Isn't that what depressed people listen to? And you're like, wow, no.
Wow, please.
It's just, that's like saying, like, playing violent video games makes you violent.
I know
we covered this already. But like being depressed, listening to depressing music makes you depressed. Not necessarily, you know, it's not, just not true. Bad.
So we covered a range of topics today. We covered education, homosexuality and bisexuality
marriage
within,
and
yeah,
that,
marriage,
that.
Polygamy, polygamy,
all that
monogamy.
Crap. Yeah, no.
Do you have anything else?
In terms of announcements or anything, no, I said anything I wanted to say at the start. Thank you very much for listening to the episode today. What we're going to be focusing on next week is, I have no idea. I have no idea what we're going to be focusing on next week.
There may not be a podcast next week.
Ah, yeah, okay, yeah, okay, we spoke about this already. There may not be a podcast next week. If there isn't, I don't know what I'll do. There just might not be one next week.
You could just sit here and cry.
I could just sit here and cry on my own. I could just, like, record my own podcast and listen to it on my own. No, okay, there may not be a podcast next week. If there isn't, we'll just pick it up again straight in the week after. And
we're having some guests.
We are having guests. A few weeks, I have a guest. We could have a guest. One of my friends coming around to be fantastic, I think.
They're no one renowned, by the way. They're not like Stephen Fry or like, you know, incredible, amazing people. But they're incredible and amazing in their own right.
Yeah, it'd be very interesting, I think, to have three people on the podcast. That's kind of something that I kind of really would have liked from the start, to have more people. But unfortunately, due to things like travel arrangements, it was just kind of difficult.
And just lack of friends in general.
And lack of friends. Yeah, we're so alone. You know, when the podcast stops, it only stops recording. We carry on like this all week. We don't leave the table apart from to eat occasionally. that's not true. What we'll do because we'll be starting going back to our college at the end of the summer. We'll start recording our episodes on a Saturday and have them uploaded on a Saturday evening. So there'll be a slight change. As in, you know, this week our podcast was recorded on the wrong day because of that piece of shit, Emil.
I'm good.
Thank you very much for listening.
It's good.
That's all we got. Thank you very much for listening. Listening next time. Bye.
Bye.